Good morning, and thank you for being here, and thank you for the conference organizers for allowing me to present. As Jeremy said, I'm from the New York City Department of Health, and I'll be discussing primary and secondary sepsis reinfection. So let's start with a brief overview. New York City has a population of 8.5 million people spread across five boroughs or counties. Our lowest rate of PNS syphilis was seen in 1998. That was 1.1 per 100,000 persons, and it was the tail end of an outbreak which had both heterosexual and homosexual spread. Since that time, our disease rate has had an almost steady increase. Last year's rate was 17.9 per 100,000. And most of our cases have been among men, about 96% overall. Here are a couple snapshots of our male PNS epi over the years. And as I already mentioned, and I'm sure as you've seen in your own jurisdictions, our case count and rate have increased. Here you can see the proportion of cases that were black, non-Hispanic. The blue line varied over the time frame, with a high of 49% and a low of 27%. The proportion of cases that lived in Manhattan, the peach line, went down from 54% to 36%, and the proportion of cases that were HIV positive on the gold line hovered around a third for most of the time frame. Percent treated remained in the high 90s, with an average of 97% of cases being treated each year, and the average age of a patient at the time of his PNS diagnosis was 35 years. Many of our colleagues in other jurisdictions have already looked at repeat infection using various methods, and these analyses have varied in follow-up time, stage of syphilis diagnosis, population study, and whether there was a retrospective or prospective view of the data. And as you might guess, the results from these analyses also differed. I put some examples up here, and you can see they range from Florida's 2.5% to Baltimore's 20% reinfection rate. In most of these repeat infection analyses, HIV was shown to be significantly related to reinfection, and MSM status was also shown to be significant. So we set out to describe PNS reinfection rates in New York City. In New York City, case status and stage of disease are determined only after field follow-up. We limited this analysis to male PNS diagnosed cases from 2000 to 2015 that were reported to CDC and had documented treatment. During the analysis period, the manner by which incoming reports are matched to already existing persons in our registry has evolved. We started with hand lookup and entry, then transitioned to a combination of hand entry and electronic import of lab data with matching upon lab import, and finally to our current system, which has a more sophisticated matching algorithm, as well as electronic import of some data, of some provider data. During a preliminary analysis, we saw that even if we allowed 10 years of follow-up, the median time to reinfection for another PNS case was under 3 years. So we decided to limit our look at a three-year follow-up to provide enough time for reinfection to occur. We didn't count a repeat case that happened within 90 days of the initial case, and this removed a handful of cases which were determined to be data recording errors. We restricted this analysis to case patients where initial infections happened between 2000 and 2012 to ensure each patient had a full 3 years of follow-up. Okay, so this is a person-based analysis, and each person was assigned a cohort, 2000 to 2012, based on the year he first appeared with a PNS diagnosis in our registry during the analysis period. We calculated PNS reinfection rate, time to first repeat PNS infection, and average number of PNS reinfections per person by cohort. We then examined predictors for repeat infection overall and by cohort, and these included HIV status, age, which was broken down into four groups, primary versus secondary syphilis, sex of sex partner, defined as sex with men only versus sex with women and or men and women, borough of residence, race, ethnicity, receipt of partner services, number of reported sex partners, and number of contacts initiated, and all of these were measured at the time of the initial syphilis diagnosis. We also explored the relationship between HIV, sex of sex partner, and reinfection. So what did we find? Over the whole time frame, 9,592 men had an initial PNS infection. 7.8% of those men had at least one repeat infection within the three-year follow-up, with an average time to repeat infection of just over a year and a half. Looking at it by cohort, rate of reinfection, that would be the gold line, showed a significant upward trend throughout the year. 2012, our most recent cohort had a 10% reinfection rate, and that was 76 out of 762 men. However, time to reinfection, which ranged from 15 to 21 months, and average number of reinfections per person, which ranged from 1 to 1.1, didn't really change over the years. Looking at other potential predictors of reinfection, being HIV positive was significantly related, as was age. Cases aged 20 to 29 and 30 to 44 were more likely to be reinfected than cases aged 45 and over. Stage of diagnosis was related. Secondary diagnoses were more likely to have reinfection than primary cases. And cases that reported sex with only males were more likely to be reinfected. Race, ethnicity, borough of residence, receipt of partner services, number of reported sex partners, and number of contacts initiated showed no association with reinfection rate. Now, looking at all the significant predictors together, the cohort to which a patient belonged fell out of the multivariate model, as did stage of diagnosis. Being HIV positive remained a strong predictor of reinfection. Those middle age groups also remained more likely to be reinfected, and significance persisted for cases reporting sex with only males. Because of the strong association between sex and sex partner and HIV status, we did test an interaction term in the model, but it was not significant. So, there are limitations to this analysis. Race was missing for 18% of cases, and that may have limited our ability to accurately measure the relationship between race and reinfection. Reinfection could be overestimated if the registry system incorrectly matched two people together, but PNS cases are investigated, so matching issues are usually remedied. Reinfection rates could be overestimated because the repeat cases we're seeing are treatment failure rather than reinfections. And they could be overestimated specifically among HIV-positive patients because they get more screening. On the other hand, repeat infection could be underestimated if the registry's matching algorithm does not match incoming case to an existing person. But again, PNS cases are investigated, so that's unlikely. But it could also be underestimated if a person moves out of or into New York City, so we wouldn't see if they had a repeat or previous case. So in summary, while the reinfection rate trended upward, when taking other factors into account, cohort year did not predict reinfection. Our reinfection rate of 7% was not unexpected given the rates found in previous similar analyses. California, using a two-year follow-up, showed a 5.7% reinfection rate among PNS-MSM. Our results also supported findings in the literature showing HIV positivity and MSM status to be associated with repeat infection. Now, in the New York City STD program, we already prioritize PNS cases co-infected with HIV and PNS cases aged 20 to 44 for field follow-up. So targeting those with potential for reinfection based on this analysis wouldn't notably change our practices or outcomes, but those with reinfection, that 7%, that's a manageable population to target for an intervention. And, of course, this analysis highlights the continued need for persons with HIV care to receive regular STI screening and continued sexual health care. I'd like to acknowledge my co-authors, Preeti Pathela, Susan Blank, and Julie Schillinger, and I'd like to thank Robin Hennessy and Brian Toro and their surveillance and field services teams for collecting and entering all of this data. Thank you. Any questions?
If you have questions, please feel free to come right up to the mic. We've got 5 minutes.
Cool. You can ask me later. Thank you.
You asking a question?
Yeah. Oh, sorry.
That's okay.
Took me a little bit to get there. I was just curious if you had looked at reinfection in context to your DIS work, either as whether or not the DIS work had any impact on reinfection, or kind of the inverse, if you get different outcomes for those who do have the reinfection versus not?
Well, we looked at partner services, so we looked at whether or not they were interviewed, and that didn't have an impact on whether they were reinfected or not.